It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Coming up on episode number 120 of Sports Day Plus. At 6:45, where are we at in society? McDonald's is trying way too hard as they are planning on 2024-ing their Happy Meals, at least temporarily. At 6:15, it is the first of a two-segment chat with comedian Chad Daniels ahead of his headlining shows at the Comedy Mothership this weekend. And in mere seconds, Jimbo Fisher is on a crusade to make college sports a little more fair. All righty then. I am your host, Trey Elling. You can give me a follow on Twitter at Courtesy Wave and do the same for ESPN Austin at 1027 ESPN. So as I thought about what I wanted to do in leading off today's show, the obvious story staring every sports media person in the face today is Scottie Scheffler getting arrested before round two of this weekend's PGA Championship. What more is there to say at this point, really? I mean, come on. I'm going to take one side or maybe the other. There's going to be a sanctimonious to it. There's going to be a sanctimoniousness to it all. And in the end, you're probably not going to hear anything all that unique out of me versus what you've been hearing all day. Sports media loves to dead horse subjects. It can happen over a matter of days or weeks or sometime even in months. And with a story like this, it will maybe not go away quickly. It will come back up over and over throughout this season of golf. And then beyond that to varying degrees as well, through jokes most likely, or callbacks. But Scottie Scheffler made a mistake. You can say that it was a case of mistaken communication, if he'd like, but perhaps he let the Tiger Woods comparisons go to his head a little bit too much. Got a little bit too big for his britches in the moment. Regardless, it is interesting to see him go out there and have a good round two. Put himself in contention for another major this weekend. So that's it. That's all you're going to hear from me on Scottie Scheffler. I'm not going to say I don't care. I don't care enough to dead horse you people with this story any more than I already have. Instead, I would like to shift my focus to one Jimbo Fisher. College football championship winning coach with Florida State. Came to Texas A&M and got a lot of money for a tiny bit of good play, but a lot of mediocre to bad play out of that A&M football program. Well, Jimbo Fisher, I don't know if he is doing the rounds right now. If so, I should try and get him on this show. But he did appear on College Sports on SiriusXM. And Jimbo had some things to say about the current state of college sports. Let's go ahead and take a listen, starting with Jimbo talking about mid-major programs essentially becoming JUCOs for the biggest, baddest schools in college football.
Here's what's happening. All your mid-majors, and a lot of your even not mid-majors in some of these other, and I'm going to say ACC, Big 12, Old Pac 12, some of those leagues, they're becoming glorified junior colleges. And some of those teams used to battle for playoffs and have great teams because, all right, they took that three-star guy or that four-star guy you miss, and they developed him into a heck of a player, and he became a great player at their school. How about Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech? Would he have ever stayed at Texas Tech? Somebody would have came and got him. You know what I'm saying? And what's happening, and then your halves are out there saying, okay, I need a corner, I need a tackle, and I need a running back. They have one, and they're going to these four-year schools and just selecting, and those guys are really becoming glorified junior colleges, and it's a shame. And I mean great college football programs that have won big in the past and had tremendously great players.
Look, Jimbo's not wrong there. That is the system that has really started to formulate now. Has it existed to a degree for a little while prior to NIL and the transfer portal really ramping up? Yeah. And it is becoming even more of the thing now. And while it may hurt the mid-majors more so than the biggest programs in college football, Jimbo is incorrect if he doesn't think it's impacting big-time college football programs as well. Because it is. But that was always going to be a part of this learning curve, is figuring out how to manage this stuff. That's why you hear me say all the time, now it's more with college basketball than it is college football, but it's important with college football too. Off-season roster management is one of the two or three most important parts of being a college coach right now. It is probably number one in college basketball, and it is top two or three in college football. And while that is maybe a bit of a bummer for that second tier of programs on down, that could also be a big part of what is a healthy system. When you do get those biggest, most important teams at that highest level, whether that turns into SEC and Big Ten versus everybody else, or whether it remains the Power Four, all trying to figure something out. But as long as there's this big of a financial disparity, just in terms of the basic TV deals that these conferences are operating under, even if it's not official, it is unofficial that the SEC and the Big Ten are going to dominate most years. All right, let's hear what else Jimbo Fisher had to say on college sports on SiriusXM a little bit earlier.
If we don't even announce, I don't know what the answer is, but we got to cut to some parity somehow, some way. But it's pushing exactly what you said. I don't know if it's 40 teams, 45, 50, yeah. 30. I don't think it's going to be as many as you think.
Well, Jimbo, you just said 30 to 50. So what is your number? And it is going to be a lesser number of teams than I think currently exist in the Power Four. But I realize Jimbo is speaking to a general audience here, starting with those two dudes. But yeah, that is what's going to happen. Again, the difference in what is going on financially is all you need to see. And also the concessions that are potentially being made for the SEC and Big Ten remaining a part of the current college football playoff format versus breaking away and doing their own thing. As long as the TV money is that different from what the ACC and Big 12 are going to be making, or what are currently making or will be making in the next couple of years, that right there is the non-starter. That right there speaks to the SEC and Big 10 creating a league where everybody is on a similar financial playing field. So Jimbo's not wrong there, but it is also amusing to hear Jimbo Fisher, the former coach at Texas A&M, one of the first programs to really take advantage of money-whipping recruits with NIL money, him talking about the need for parity. Jimbo couldn't win consistently at A&M with that sort of advantage. But Jimbo is calling for parity. Hey, maybe he's just making the full transition into a broadcasting career. He's not going to try his hand on the sideline anymore, because I don't think that would go well for him if he's playing with parity. All right, final little bit here from Jimbo Fisher on college sports on SiriusXM a little bit earlier.
You know, it'd be interesting being in Amelia Island right now, Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina trying to get out. Those meetings over there are going real interesting right now. And I know why. Yeah. They want to be a half.
Right.
To go some history, EJ, when you were there, sometimes when I came back from those meetings, I was in a bad mood. I got into it with the commissioner over there trying to tell him this was coming, and they wouldn't listen to me. Yeah. We got into a couple of knockdown dragouts, and I was letting them know this is coming, and we weren't, in my opinion, weren't doing some of the things we need to do in that league to allow us, because at that time, we were as good as anybody in the country. During our eight years there, we were in the top two or three winning percentages in the country and winning and ready to win national championships. We won one and played for them. But I knew eventually it was snowballing because of what we were doing from a conference alignment. And it's even getting that stretch is getting greater as we sit here.
He's not wrong about what he just said, other than maybe the fact that he's having these knockdown dragouts on the direction that the ACC was going in when he was at Florida State. That might be revisionist history. That might be Jimbo Fisher talking people into circles, or maybe talking himself into a circle as he is misremembering what actually happened in the past. But yeah, the ACC, the Big 12, obviously the Pac-12, they are a major step behind what the Big 10 and the SEC are doing. Will that change? We're just going to have to wait to find out. All right, coming up, we are done with sports for today. That's because Where We At in Society will be at 6:45, a McDonald's-focused Where We At in Society. And coming up next, it is stand-up comedian Chad Daniels, who is headlining at Rogan's Comedy Mothership this weekend.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elliott.
Chad Daniels is a longtime stand-up comedian who is honing that craft here in Austin this weekend at Joe Rogan's Comedy Mothership. Shows Friday through Sunday that are unfortunately sold out already. I do still recommend you go to his YouTube page. You search Chad Daniels. Check out his latest stand-up special there and also stand-up specials from the past. And he is now nice enough to join me to talk comedy and more. Chad, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
It is my pleasure. You are a Minnesota guy originally. That's where you flew in from over the last couple of days. It's starting to get warm here in Austin. What were the conditions that you left in Minnesota to come here this weekend?
It's actually starting to get warm there too. Yeah. So I was in Minnesota, flew to San Diego, went to a concert, and then my daughter goes to school out in Southern California, and it's her finals week, so I went and had breakfast with her. So this weather is right on point for what I've been dealing with.
Love to hear it. What was the concert?
Justin Timberlake.
Okay.
I know. I do not look like I would enjoy a Justin Timberlake concert. My girlfriend loves him since she was, you know, like 3 years old or something. So it's I don't know if that's right, but absolutely fantastic. It was a great show.
It seems like that would be a really fun show because Timberlake, he's got very catchy music. Obviously, the ladies are going to be going crazy too, and I'm sure there's some an aesthetic on stage for guys like us. That's pretty amusing if nothing else.
Yeah, and he's a funny dude, I think.
Yeah.
You know, all the SNL stuff that he did, and it was really entertaining.
That's cool. So you have performed at the Comedy Mothership, if I'm remembering correctly. I feel like I've seen a picture or two of you at the Mothership. It's obviously gotten rave reviews in the little bit more than a year that it has been up and running. What were your initial impressions of that place, Chad?
Well, I don't really know. You know, everybody talks about Rogan in a certain way, and you know, you just... I like to experience things myself before I have any sort of, opinion on it. And so I went down there. Everybody was super cool. Everybody was really nice. It wasn't what you think. You know, it's not like people are planning the next January 6th in the green room. It's like a normal comedy club where you go there and patrons come to listen to jokes and laugh, and then comedians get on stage and make them laugh. I mean, it's exactly like all the other comedy clubs. It's exactly what you'd think.
Well, I'm sure the green room hang is a big exchange of ideas as well, because that's typically what happens when comics come together. They're just messing with one another and maybe opining on politics or sports or whatever else. But yeah, it's not the January 6th bit necessarily.
Right. It's a ton of just busting balls like everywhere else. Yep.
You are a big Minnesota sports fan. You guys are having a bit of a moment right now. A game 7 in the NBA Finals. There's maybe some hope on the horizon for the Vikes, though. But I feel like Minnesota is maybe an underrated city in terms of tortured sports towns. So I guess it's got to feel pretty good to get some positive vibes going this year, huh?
Yeah, it's nice. You know, a lot of Minnesota teams, our kind of MO is pissing it down our leg.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think a lot of people thought as soon as the T-Wolves lost 2 at home that they were going to fold and it was going to be, you know, done 4-2. Denver was going to take it. There's been one close game, and that was game 1. Otherwise, it has just been an ass-whooping on one side or the other.
Yeah.
And so I'm interested to see what's going to happen in game 7 because it really looks like they figured something out defensively where they put, you know, the Big Cat or Nas on Jokic, and then they have Rudy playing defense on Gordon or Murray with his long ass arms, and people, they're not able to get their shots off. So last night looked great, and it gives us a little hope. And if nothing else, you know, at least they didn't just fold, because a lot of Minnesota teams in the past have absolutely folded.
Is it a good or bad thing that the Kirk Cousins era is now over with the Vikings, with him moving on to Atlanta and you guys drafting a QB in the first round?
In my opinion, I have disliked Kirk Cousins since the moment he signed with the Vikings. Mm-hmm. And you get all these people like, well, look at his stats. Well, guess what? Look at when the stats are taken. It's never the last 5 minutes of the first half or second half. It's always like the middle of the game when it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like you look at the 49ers game on Monday night where Cousins threw a pick and Jordan Addison went and took the ball from the defender and scored a touchdown. That broke their back. And that is going to go down as a touchdown pass for Kirk Cousins of over 70 yards, and he threw an interception.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. I think the stat sheet should go, that's a pick. Then we give Jordan Addison a takeaway and a touchdown because everybody's was making him look so good. And it's like, how many years in a row do you want the same guy to make the same mistake? You know, he was on – everyone's like, oh, did you watch Quarterback on Netflix? He was so nice. He was reading history to his kids. And it's like, maybe he should read a math book where it says if you need 8 yards, don't throw it 3 yards. Is there a story problem about that? Listen, I bet he's a great dude. And I actually saw him – we were down on the field for that 49ers game. And I saw him break away from practice and come over to this young kid that was in a wheelchair. And I'm telling you, it was like, it wasn't scripted. No PR guy went over to Kirk and said, hey, can you do this? Kirk legitimately saw the kid and ran over there. That kind of stuff. I think that is what sports are about. I think that's what being famous is about. If you use your, you know, fan for good, like that kind of stuff, great. However, when you're in the playoffs, it's about getting the job done. And so I think, so I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to say this. My buddy sent me a text when Kirk got traded and he goes, Kirk belongs in the South where they don't mind getting by Cousins, man. That made me laugh so hard. And I'm stoked for Sam Darnold. And yeah. I'm stoked for JJ because I don't care who's in there. As long as it's not a guy that can't get through the playoffs and is taking the majority of the salary cap and making sure that you can't fill in the holes where, you know, we needed some players and we couldn't afford them. And so now we can. And I think that's going to be great. And so I gave my girlfriend, she has endured some nonsense from me on Sundays. So I have given her a no complaining about the Vikings guarantee for the entire season. I don't care if they go 0-for, doesn't matter to me, as long as I'm not watching the same guy do the same stuff.
The numbers are out on Kirk Cousins, and this did get a little bit better with Minnesota these last couple of years, but the guy is not very good in prime time. So can you be a great person, but also not a championship caliber quarterback? Absolutely. Both things can be true. So you can root for him in the game of life while also not wanting them to be your signal caller either. And so for Falcons fans now, he may have even more talent around him than he did in Minnesota. And they are going to have to deal with however long he remains that team's starting quarterback before Penix ultimately takes over. They're going to have to deal with the highs and lows that comes with Kirk Cousins being your QB, including running up the stats in the fourth quarter of games that are already so out of hand that the Falcons or the Vikings in the past had no choice but to throw the football.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like you have to – when they're playing prevent defense and you're able to throw 8-yard slants and the guy's running 23 yards, that's fantastic. But then that should be in a separate stat category. Do I cheer for Kirk Cousins in the game of life, like you said? Absolutely. I want everybody to succeed. I really do. Do I want him as a quarterback? I don't know. Maybe for $15 million a year, but not for what they were paying him. I mean, that's wild.
Well, yeah, and give his agent a ton of credit, too, because he was the first QB to get all guaranteed money from you guys when he left Washington to come to Minnesota.
Yeah.
So he clearly has a business savvy about him. That quarterback series did wonders for his PR, and I think it helped turn into what he's making now in Atlanta, which is largely guaranteed as well. By the way, you mentioned your girlfriend a couple of times. Also, another very talented comedian, Kelsey Cook. She's going to be in Austin at the end of the year at Cap City Comedy Club. I heard y'all's Pretend Problems podcast. I feel like it was the most recent episode where she was getting on you for being loud at sporting events. I'm totally on your side with that. If you're not using vulgar language, you're allowed to yell at sporting events. And it sounds like you're going Duke basketball level with your research as well to really get in the ears of the opponents for whatever the Minnesota team is.
I love it. I never curse at games because I know that there can be kids within earshot and stuff like that. And I'm never being a complete jerk to anybody. I'm just trying to make it as silly as possible. And it means a lot to me when a right fielder will turn around and start laughing at something I'm saying. I think it's wonderful. And so that's what I try to get out of it. And, you know, she is kind of quiet in public and stuff like that. And I'm the complete opposite. Yeah. She gets embarrassed very easily. And I get embarrassed hardly ever. And so when we're in public, it can really, really be uncomfortable for her. But yeah, I love being loud at sporting events. And as long as it's entertaining, right? If I can tell people are getting annoyed, I will shut it down. And I'll understand today's not my day, right? But, you know, I feel like Kirk Cousins, I have some pretty solid stats.
All right, well, hold that thought because I did want to ask you about maybe the best roast that you've thrown out there to a professional athlete in your playful trash talk from the stands. But that'll have to happen after this commercial break. He is stand-up comedian Chad Daniels. He is in town here in Austin this weekend, headlining at Joe Rogan's Comedy Mothership Friday through Sunday. It's all sold out this weekend, unfortunately. You can still go to his YouTube page, though, and watch his most recent stand-up special. It's titled Mixed Reviews. And coming up, I continue with the hilarious Chad Daniels here on Sports Day Plus on 102.7 ESPN.
It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling. It's Sports Day Plus with Trey Elling.
Back with stand-up comedian Chad Daniels. He is at the Comedy Mothership headlining all weekend long. Those shows are sold out, but I do recommend you go to his YouTube page. Just search Chad Daniels on YouTube. You can watch his most recent stand-up special. Came out a few months ago. It's called Mixed Reviews. Very, very funny. And Chad, previously we were talking about your acumen at sporting events and your ability to get under the opposition's skin when you're at a Minnesota Timberwolves game or Twins game or a Vikings game perhaps. Do you have a best piece of trash talk from your time watching sports?
Well, this wasn't even at an athlete. This was a guy. I was at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City.
Okay.
And or Kauffman Field, I think it is. And the Twins were playing in Kansas City. And then later that day, there was a Vikings-Chiefs preseason game across the parking lot. And by the time the baseball game was over, everyone was so drunk that we were watching people stumble across the parking lot. We're like, this football game is going to be a nightmare for sure. A foul ball lands in the seats. We were on the left field line way down by the foul pole. And there was a Boy Scout or a Cub Scout troop, you know, there. And this guy got the ball. And so I go, give it to a kid. And he's like holding on to the ball. I go, come on, man, give it to a kid. Well, cut to 5 minutes later, the stadium is chanting, give it to a kid. Jock Jones from the Minnesota Twins turns to us and he goes, hey, give it to a kid. We're trying to play a game here. Give it to a kid. And this guy slams the ball down on the stairs. And then you see all the Cub Scouts go crazy and get the ball. And I go, that was awesome, man. And the guy goes, I have a kid at school right now that I was going to give it to. And I go, take him out of school and bring him to the baseball game. What are you doing? You're just going to go to the game by yourself, you weirdo? Get your kid out of school.
That guy strikes me as maybe not the best dad, but I'm not going to have you go into this again. But you know about not great dads. I also know about not great dads, too. Yeah, take your kid out of school. That's actually one of the weird, unforeseen joys for me as a dad. I've got a 9 and 7-year-old. I know both your kids are growing up. You also have a son and a daughter. But have those moments where it's like, you know what? We're going to skip school today. We're going to go do this instead. You don't always have to be sick to miss a day of school. Might you miss a quiz or a test or something? Sure, but it's just elementary school. You're really not going to be missing anything that important.
Yeah, I brought my daughter on a mini tour. It was like 8 days. We started in Memphis, went all the way around through Kansas City, Louisville, Nashville, Huntsville, Alabama, and then Atlanta. And so we started off in Memphis. We went to Graceland. We went to the museum. It's the motel where Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated.
Oh, wow.
And they turned that into a hotel. That is, and it probably is going to sound ridiculous, but it's emotionally exhausting. If you're going to go to that, don't plan anything else for the rest of the day because it's very quiet and you're not really doing anything physically, but you are drained after it. Yeah. And then in Atlanta, we went to see MLK Jr.'s childhood home. And so I took my daughter out of school for this trip, and one of her teachers was so resistant, and it was the history teacher, and she kept saying, well, we're going to learn a lot this week. And I go, are you out of your mind? Do you know the trip I have planned for my daughter? She is going to learn more on this trip firsthand than you're going to be able to teach her out of a book. And so kind of butted heads like that. But I always think if you have a chance to bring a kid out of school and show them the real stuff, man, you got to go for that.
Yeah, museums, things like that, going to like a national park or something. It's been as simple for us at times. Like when one of my kids has a field trip, I'll take the other one out of school and we'll go do the field trip too. And I'll be a chaperone for my other kid's class. So we've gone to a museum. We've gone to this STEM museum that's here in Austin too. And at the end of the day, both kids enjoy it a little bit more. And I get some brownie points as a dad too, you know? So it's win-win.
Yeah, that's great. And I always picture those kids going back to school and the teacher saying something and they raise their hand and they go, well, yeah, when I skipped school that day, I saw this and this makes sense. And now I know this. That's a good feeling too.
Not to put you on the spot here, but MLK is obviously one of the most important figures in human history. Do you have a favorite quote of MLK's or a favorite idea of his?
The idea of, I've talked about this before. Kelsey and I asked each other, who are the five people we would have dinner with.
Yep.
And the idea of turning the other cheek to make a point, right? No violence. Even when like someone is hitting you in the face, to be able to say, I'm going to show peace and restraint in this situation to prove my point is so admirable. And I don't think I could do it, by the way. And I think that's why, right? When I see somebody playing a big piano piece or doing anything I can't do, it's always so amazing to me because it's just not in my wheelhouse. And what he did and getting people to follow him in that ideology is just so impressive. And it really still doesn't even make sense to me. I can't really grasp it because of all the violence that was going on around them. And then for them to say, no, this is how we get our attention. We go peacefully, and this is how we get national news, and this is how it doesn't come back on us. I mean, all that stuff is incredible to me.
Yeah, agreed. On the flip side, though, when was the last time you were in a physical fight? Why did it happen? What was the outcome?
Ooh, physical fight. My son's 24, so 17-ish years ago, I got in a fight for, very, very personal reasons. And the outcome was the police were called and my son saw it. He was supposed to stay in the car and he got out of the car and saw it. And that's the last time I've thrown a punch. And I've been punched 2 times since then and just kind of was like, all right, you got your punch in, I'm out. You know, and it doesn't feel very, manly, right? Because you want to get up and you want to go, all right, now we go. But I think that the look on my son's face when he saw the fighting was enough for me to never throw a punch again. And the other 2 times I was punched, I deserved it. So it was fine.
You turned the other cheek there. You followed MLK's advice.
Yeah, I guess. But for me, it wasn't for that. It wasn't like, I'm going to be peaceful. It was, I made a deal because I saw the look on my son's face.
Yeah.
And you know what? I've asked him about that fight. And he doesn't remember. So maybe it's in there somewhere. I don't know. Maybe he repressed it, but so far, so good. I don't know. I ask him about once a year. I go, you sure you don't remember that? And I kind of walk him through the thing and he goes, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, well, fantastic.
That's pretty crazy. I feel like I would remember if my dad got into a physical fight. Then again,
I think so too.
Maybe
that's the push down. I don't know.
Maybe I'm repressing that memory. So your kids are grown now, Chad. And obviously, yeah.